and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Maren Jones.
Welcome, Maren. And we're still alive.
We are.
And Anne is still alive, too, but she'll be back next week.
Hi, Anne.
We you know, these are troubled times, and we will talk about them. But we start by talking about someone we lost this week, the great playwright Mark Crowley, who really broke gay barriers on stage with the boys in the band in 1968. He has died.
And we've got a little bit of bad news out of Alabama, Florida, and Arizona, but a little bit of progress in South Carolina, Alaska, and New York.
Yep. Aaron Schock, you may have seen him online, he with the famous abs, the Republican in Congress who voted anti-LGBT for so long. Well, he says he's gay, to no one's surprise.
Arrest has finally been made in the murder of a bisexual man in a bar in Chicago.
Yeah, a story we talked about last week where there was no arrest. Brigham Young, another story we told you about, they have now reverted to their homophobic policy for their students.
And, of course, we all know about Stonewall, but there was a really important other raid on a gay bar in New York City, and the 50th anniversary of that was just last week.
Yep.
On March the 8th, actually.
Yep. It was marked. This was eight months after Stonewall. We're going to review Lucas Nath's most recent play. He's the guy who did Doll's House Part 2. This one is called Dana H, about his mother.
And we've got another great gay play, The Inheritance, on Broadway is closing this Sunday, and three very special guests turned up this week and received standing ovations.
Right. Maybe we should start by talking a little bit about how we are all living through this coronavirus thing and what we can add to it. I mean, the LGBT groups all came out with a big statement saying, hey, you know, special concern, health concerns for some LGBT people. We apparently smoke more than others and things like that.
Right.
And all these things are of concern. And we are one of the more vulnerable populations,
so
you can
100
say.
LGBT health orgs signed an open letter. Where did that letter go?
To the world.
To the world.
And the media. And telling everybody, be conscious of this, that you've got populations that have special
that are
concerns.
At risk,
now,
yeah.
You know, I mean, our associate producer, Bill Bauman, can correct me on this, but, you know, people with HIV who are on meds and things don't necessarily, unless they have other compromises, you know, are not necessarily at special heightened risk. But everybody, we all are taking precautions now.
But did you know about 40% of the HIV-positive population is over 50, which
sure.
puts it at higher risk?
Well, sure. I mean, anybody older, like everybody running for president these days.
Everybody in Congress, yes.
And maybe we should move on to that.
All right.
Yes. All right. This looks like the week where it looks like Joe Biden wrapped up the Democratic nomination in many respects. He and Jill came out resplendent in lavender.
Does that mean?
On election night. I don't know, but it was very noticeable.
Well, my theory is, I told you it's red and blue makes lavender.
Now, and as we were going on the air to tape today, Bernie did announce he's going to stay in. And, Frank, you know, people are saying, oh, we should get out and unify the party. Look, he can do what he wants to do. I think on the plus side, it keeps Joe on his toes. They keep campaigning. They don't. Who wants to just watch 8 months of Trump and Biden going at each other like two dinosaurs? No. So
it's going to keep it interesting.
Well, of course, then we've got Bernie. He's no kid either. But I mean, we're going to have that scene for a while. Now, Biden did unveil his LGBTQ plan this past week.
What do you think of it?
Well, I mean, it's nothing. Most of it is obvious. You know, the Equality Act, banning conversion therapy federally, international lesbian and gay rights, applying the sex discrimination laws to us.
He knows all of this stuff.
Creating a third gender. Well, apparently he's got Chad Griffin, formerly of the Human Rights Campaign, and Jim Obergefell of
advising
the famous
him.
Obergefell decision, advising him on these things, among others. But he's also willing to stand up to what the Trump people are pushing, which is discrimination in the name of religious freedom. And that's a big step for Democrats to do that.
So at least marriage equality will be safe under a Biden presidency. That would be...
Not from the court, necessarily.
You don't think?
No. I mean, the court can take away some of that. They can overturn Obergefell and Windsor if they want to. Will they do that at this point with all these people married? But they can trim it. And they can, you know... But they could... Look, the court can change. Lower courts have to respect the precedent of these cases. The high court can say, no, we think that was wrongly decided. After all, you know, the Supreme Court upheld the right to ban sodomy in 1986. They had huge demonstrations, right? Well, it took 17 years, and they finally said, no, you can't have laws banning people in private from making love. And, you know, so, you know, all right.
We'll see. How about, I think it's a low priority right now, given what's going on, to overturn same-sex marriage.
Death.
Right. We're in a life and death period in this country.
So how did you feel about the exit of Elizabeth Warren? It has wounded a lot of people.
She was very popular in the queer female community. I mean, she was very, very energetic, very, very intelligent, and she looked kind of gay, which was, you know, just a bonus. And then, you know, you have Kate McKinnon playing her perfectly on SNL. So.
And they did it again this weekend, even after she got out of the race. I think people have to give her credit for one big thing. I mean, I many respect her for a lot of things, but she got rid of Bloomberg. She eviscerated him.
She pretty much did.
Eviscerated him. It was a joy to watch, to get this guy who was basically a halfway Republican out of the race. We didn't, you know, I mean, do we like his money? I don't know. It's very corrupting, but she got rid of him.
I didn't like the ads. You know, I felt like I was being his ads. I was being advertised to rather than spoken to.
Well, that's what he. How do you think he
that's
got
what
to
he
be
does.
Mayor
yeah.
three times?
Yeah.
In our city. All right. Also on the political front, well, of course, by this time Pete Buttigieg is hosting Jimmy Kimmel on March the 12th. By the time you see this show, you won't have a chance to tune into that. Jill Biden also spoke in Orlando at the Florida LGBTQ and Democratic Caucus. 84% of the attendees there in Florida at this LGBT thing supported Biden. This was before he'd won all these primaries. Cynthia Nixon made the pitch for Bernie.
And it's good to see people of color getting behind a candidate. And it's Biden, which is a little bit surprising to me, but why not?
In terms of some of his history on the issues, yes. But he was Obama's vice president. And again, there's been a lot of analysis about why communities of color especially, although the Latino vote, Latinx vote, has been going with Bernie largely. But there's been a lot of analysis about why the African-American vote, especially in the South. You're talking about really vulnerable people, vulnerable to racism in our racist society, and they want someone who's just going to knock off Trump, and they think this is the way to do it. I mean, I think that's the major feeling that was at play in those things. Obviously, they bypassed African American candidates, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker. It didn't happen.
Right.
There's good news on the Senate front. You know, it's not all about the presidency. We've got this. If we don't win the Senate, we're in trouble. And we've got to win at least four seats. We've got to flip four seats and maybe five if Doug Jones loses in Alabama. Although, did you see in Alabama, Trump has endorsed Jeff Sessions' opponent in the runoff. There's a runoff for the Republican nominee.
Jeff Sessions. He hates him.
And it would be very sweet, Alabama. I don't like Jeff Sessions, but I hope you make him your nominee over the Auburn football coach, whose name is escaping me. But there was good news this week. Steve Bullock is the Democratic governor of Montana. He ran for president. You might have missed that because it was over in a few minutes. He is announced for the U.S. Senate against the Republican Steve Daines. So that adds to winnable seats. The big winnable seats are you writing all this down?
I have to write it down.
Write it down. Colorado,
That's right.
We should be able to win that easily.
I hope so.
Arizona against McSally. We got Mark Kelly. Maine to get rid of Susan Collins, finally.
Oh, my God. She's the worst.
And North Carolina to get rid of Tom Tillis. We could.
But we got Michigan.
Well.
Which is really, really the cornerstone of.
Well, we have outside chances in places like Kansas, Texas, Iowa, Kentucky, and Georgia. Mm-hmm. But we need four wins to a net four wins to control the Senate. But we only need three if the Democrats win and the vice president would cast the tie vote in that case. Because in our country, the vice president is the president of the Senate. That's how it works. And breaks ties. All right. So enough of that. Let's talk about our brother Mark Crowley.
Mark Crowley. All right. So you saw the play. It took it 50 years to get to Broadway.
I never saw the play as a kid. I was quite 1968. I would have been.
Did you see the revival
15,
here?
15, I think.
No,
yeah.
Don't say that.
Yeah. So I saw the movie.
Me too.
But I had to sneak in because I was underage. I was 17, and it was like rated because it was about homosexuality. It wasn't any sex in it, you know. But it was like.
It was all in the dialogue. You had to really listen. But there was plenty of allusion to it.
So it was just there you see the original cast with Mark there on the left. It was a phenomenon. They planned this thing to run a week. And, of course, it was very hard to get those actors to do that show. A lot of them, all their agents said, you're going to ruin your career. What are you doing? Larry Luckenbill was in it. He wasn't even gay. But who married Lucy Arnaz years later. But Kenneth Nelson, who was the original boy in, what's the one that ran forever? Soon It's Going to Rain. Come on.
What do you think I am, a Broadway queen?
No,
I don't know this.
That's not a Broadway. The Fantastics.
Okay.
He was the original boy in The Fantastics in like 1960 or something.
So I think I saw this movie on TV in Australia, or it could have been VHS, right? And it scarred me for life.
Scarred you how?
So I'm one of the negative.
Because we were so self-hating?
Yes. I remember thinking, I already thought I was gay when I was a little girl. And I remember thinking, if this is what gay people are, I don't know that I want to be.
It could have been the Children's Hour that scarred you. Did you see that?
That too.
Anne always invokes the Children's Hour.
But they were so mean to each other. And I thought, here they are wearing fabulous
clothes. But in the first act, they have a lot of fun. They're having a party.
Yeah, but then it gets so mean.
It's awful. It's all about self-hate. There's even a line where Michael, the central character, says, if we could only learn not to hate ourselves so much.
Exactly. And Harold, though, he really did terrify me. But if I was teaching about gay history now, I would show this movie.
Yes.
Because it really is actually perfect evidence of internalized homophobia, societal homophobia.
Now, when Anne and I worked at the Hetrick Martin Institute for LGBT Youth years ago, mid-80s to the mid-90s, we had movie day with the kids. They liked that movie. The kids.
Why do you think?
Revenge of the
because
Nerds
the original,
quite a bit.
Right, but do you know why? It's people behaving badly. And this play was a hit on Broadway off-Broadway in 1968. It was a success.
It ran 1,001 performances.
But that's because you had straight people going to it and saying, see, that's what those queers do. That's what they're like.
Jackie Kennedy went. Mayor Lindsay was not particularly pro-gay, although, you know, did some good things. He had a gay brother. But everybody went to see this play. It was a phenomenon. And, of course, it started in 68. It was still running when Stonewall happened. And they took the original off-Broadway cast and made the movie with them. It was made Billy Friedkin.
William Friedkin, who did Cruising.
Who did the horrible movie Cruising.
Right.
You know. We had huge protests against the movie Cruisin, but we're getting away from Mark Crowley.
All right.
Because, you know.
So he unfortunately died of complications of heart surgery. His friend Natasha Gregson-Wagner revealed
Well, he was very close to the Wagners. I mean,
friends with Robert.
Robert Wagner and,
But that's sad because it makes me think he should have survived that operation, unfortunately. He seemed very
Natalie healthy. Wood, who was Robert Wagner's husband, wife, twice.
That's a Freudian slip. Who knows what that
well,
is about.
Well, I'm not going to say what I know about Robert Wagner. but he was very close friends with Natalie.
That's right.
And he was an assistant to her when she did West Side Story. And she's the one who encouraged him to write to The write. Boys in the Band, and he wrote it in five
weeks. First play. That was his first play.
He did it. Now, in his obituary, it says he had an alcoholic father and a drug addict for a mother, and he said that Eugene O'Neill, he stole all my plots. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But anyway, the revival, now he did win the Tony for Best Revival, which was just wonderful, with an all-gay production. In other words, they cast all gay actors. Did you show the picture of Mart winning his Tony already, or put it up there again? Anyway, it was...
I didn't mean to be negative about this.
He did other things in life. He was a script editor.
Yeah.
He was a producer.
And a fun guy,
heart-to-heart. And just a great... We had him on the show because when they did a documentary about the making of The Boys...
Clive Barnes said something really interesting. He said that the characters reveal a pessimism so uncompromising in its honesty that it becomes in itself an affirmation of life. Well, what do you think of that? Is that true or is that just nonsense?
Well, here's the thing. It was, I have to say, as a 17-year-old, there was nothing out there.
That's right.
There was books. You could get books and read some positive, a few positive things. Most of the books in the library, when I went to the library, were about homosexuality as a mental illness, which it was classified as then, right?
Oh, yeah.
But my friend George Weinberg wrote Society and the Healthy Homosexual in 1972. So that got onto library shelves. But it was just thrilling to see gay people. We didn't have a culture where we shared much, where you could know how people lived and how did they act and what did they do. Maybe some of it was negative, but it was all that we had.
And they wore fabulous clothing. I remember that.
You know, he had a ridiculous apartment for somebody who was on unemployment, I have to say. New York was a lot cheaper in those days. It was, but that was a bit much on the east side there. But Mart Crowley, he was a trailblazer. He was. All right, let's talk about some other... One other person who died this week was a... Are you sitting down? A pro-gay Republican.
A nice, moderate Republican, which is a dying breed.
Amo...
Houghton.
Upstate New York.
Corning, New York. Like the heir of...
He ran the Corning Glassworks. He was rich. But he supported domestic partnerships in the District of Columbia. He supported gay adoptions. He voted against the Defense of Marriage Act. I mean, I'm not trying to hit on Joe Biden, but Joe Biden didn't voted for the Defense of Marriage Act. And he was one of the last Republican moderates. He was one of four Republicans to vote against impeachment for Bill Clinton. And he supported the impeachment of Donald Trump. He was out of Congress by then. He was pro-choice. So,
That was a big surprise. But I think his wife, who was his second wife, who was a Democrat, might have influenced him on that, the pro-choice part, possibly.
I hope so.
You know how those mixed marriages work.
I hope so.
And he was against Middle East wars, which I think is terrific.
He voted
as
against
well.
The Iraq war.
Yep.
Anyway.
So another good guy gone.
Let's go back to what happened in Trump news this week, if we can.
Oh, no.
Okay?
Yes.
All right. So our State Department, we told people about this Human Rights Commission. It's called the Unalienable Rights Commission at the State Department, meant to internationally promote rights that are based on natural rights and all that. It's a religious thing, basically.
Right.
So run by monk Mike Pompeo, who is a fundamentalist. All right. So they are being sued now by the Robert F. Kennedy Human Rights Group and others. Who else is suing? The Center for Health and Gender Equity, because they're saying this is a sham. Mm-hmm. It's religiously biased, right. And you can't do this. Now, the chance of us succeeding in the courts with this Supreme Court, I'm not optimistic, but I'm glad they're doing it to draw attention to how bad it is.
Do you know how many lawsuits are currently in the works against this administration? Just like...
Jillions.
A bunch.
Yes. Attorneys general from across the country are suing, and they often win in the lower courts, but then the Supreme Court puts the brakes on the decisions, and we're not doing well there. And we won't until we reform the Supreme Court, which I've been talking about
for a long time.
But, that's what we need to do. Now, the other thing that happened this week Trump, no, this didn't happen this week, but, you know, Trump pardoned this woman who was a former reality TV star, Angela Stanton King. Do you know her?
She was on BET. She was one of the Real Housewives in wherever.
Atlanta,
she was,
I guess.
Running a car theft ring.
Yes.
But they let her do her time at home, I think. She just had to, well, she didn't actually go
now,
to prison.
She is a Republican candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives against one of our heroes, John Lewis, mm-hmm. who is suffering from cancer, by the way. But anyway, she's running.
So she's saying, I've turned over a new leaf, I've learned my lesson, I'm a wonderful person, I'm electable. And then she tweets this homophobic, this terrible image.
It's a meme. We probably should show it to you, but we don't have it. But, I mean, it's like, they, you know, basically the gays started out just asking for equal rights. And now it ends up in what we're asking for now, she says, showing what?
It's a rainbow gun.
A rainbow gun to your head, mm-hmm. saying, let me F your 8-year-old kid, pedophobe. And then that is supposed to be what we're for
now. That's a new word. I hadn't heard of that word before.
Pedophobe. No. Mm. She wrote enough is enough. And indeed, enough is enough, Ms. Stanton King. Your 15 minutes is almost up. Because she's not going to be John Lewis down there.
I hope not. God.
And then we read about detention centers for trans immigrants this week. There was only one dedicated to them in Cibola County, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. They found hundreds of unanswered requests for medical attention there.
Wow.
Poor quarantine procedures, deficient treatment for mental illnesses and chronic disease, cough. It led to the transfer of all the detainees to other facilities. And this was one of these things. These places are being run by private companies.
Right.
With your tax dollars.
And not doing a good job.
Now what will happen to them?
I don't know. And with the current coronavirus situation, I think a lot of these hot button issues are going to be overshadowed by people's anxieties in other areas.
Absolutely. All right. Let's bring up the story, since it's also about detention centers and things. Mm-hmm. What happened with Washington Blade reporter?
Oh yeah, well that was good news. But how was that reversed? So who?
All right.
Why did they reverse
there's
it?
There's this Washington Blade reporter from
Who's
Cuba.
From Cuba.
From Cuba. His name is Yariel Valdez Gonzalez. There he is on the right there with Michael Lavers from the Washington Blade,
yeah.
who has been helping him, writing about him,
and
traveling all over the country
right.
to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been seeking asylum, and he was granted asylum, but then the feds appealed it, and they kept him in detention centers for 8 months. But he won asylum. The Board of Immigration mm-hmm. Appeals dismissed an appeal of a judge's ruling in September, granting asylum. So he is out, and he's back reporting, and he's back working, and he's happy. But my God, what we put people through!
And also, the ICE detention center in Louisiana, where he was, is privately run. Can you explain that to me? How does that happen?
The same as the one with the transgender, privately run. And these places are notorious. It's just
right.
Don't turn your backs on what's happening mm-hmm. with your in your name, brothers and sisters.
Mm.
Okay. All right. So we get to the guy with the abs, Aaron Schock.
Oh, the guy with the abs, the shirtless gay dude on Instagram.
All right. Aaron Schock was a Republican, young, very young. He's one of the youngest members of the House ever.
Mm-hmm.
Member of Congress, Republican, voted against us all the time. The reason we're talking about him is he has finally declared himself as a gay man officially.
I read his whole essay on Instagram. It was an essay written in Courier font, my favorite font.
What's your favorite font?
Courier.
Oh, Courier,
it's
yes.
It's the
yes.
typewriter font.
Yeah, I remember.
Right?
I remember.
So he's written this essay, basically, which is an apology, posted it on Instagram, right next to all the shirtless pics of him lying by the pool.
Did you think it was a sincere apology?
I I'm a very analytical person. I have a degree in a literary analysis, and I'm going through this, and I just see a very conflicted human being who is not. He's laying blame on a lot of people, whether it's the farm, the church, the Midwest, his mother, his family.
They tried to get him into conversion therapy, didn't
I know,
they?
And I sympathize, and we've really all struggled with our backgrounds. There's very few people of us who can say, look, I came out to my parents and they went, hooray, I'm so happy for
well,
you.
My father said, this is after college, after I'd been president of the gay student union and hadn't told them I was gay. It was ridiculous. But I come home and I want to tell them. And he said, they listen, and he goes, well, you seem to accept this.
Hmm.
And if we, 1975, and if we don't, I guess we're not going to see very much of you anymore. I said, that's very good for a Republican figuring that out. Maybe he knew Amo Houghton or something. I don't know.
But what I don't like about this is, I'm happy he's done it. I think it was the right thing to do. But he's 38. But the part of me, I will never understand this one thing, is that people who plan a career to be elected officials, they want to become elected officials, who think they can lie, who think that they can actually not be authentic or honest
right.
when they're a public servant.
Right.
In any other profession, it's expected that you front up and that you are who you say you are. You know? So that is the part of me that I find really hard to reconcile that.
Well, Jim McGreevy in New Jersey, the governor, Democrat, but, you know, he got married twice to women before he finally came out because he was exposed in a scandal.
It really makes me wonder about people who go into politics. Is it a personality disorder rather than a profession?
Well, let's be careful because we like some people in politics.
Anyway,
it can be.
You know, I'm teasing now.
It can be for some people. These people are just they don't get the message.
Oh, and this part got me upset. He uses courier font, and then he says, and then how dare he say this? Blah blah blah. By people who otherwise call themselves journalists, had a go at him or something, and I'm that's so typical. Blame the journalists for your dishonesty.
He tried to pay tribute to the activists who made it possible for him to come out, but then he says, the sometimes vicious criticism I've received from these same people. It's you're calling it vicious criticism. People have been calling out his hypocrisy.
That's it.
He has been photographed at gay clubs and gay scenes with his hand down men's pants,
right.
All that stuff for years. And, you know, and when are you going to apologize for voting against us and making our lives miserable?
And at Coachella, which is funded by anti-LGBT.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Coachella, no, we don't go to Coachella.
I mean, he voted against the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Hate Crimes Act. He said he would now support LGBTQ rights in every way if I could. He was thinking of getting back into office, but, you know, he's not going to get nominated in the Republican Party.
Look, I'm sure
he always denied he was gay in interviews. He was asked about it. He would just deny it.
Yeah. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's got a really good, chest.
I don't know him.
I'm happy for him, but still.
Well, you know, There was a guy named John Hinson years ago. John Hinson was a Mississippi congressman in 1980, all right? 1980 he was elected. Mississippi. We hadn't known that he had been in a fire in a gay porno place where he survived and was found under other dead bodies.
Oh, wow.
That didn't get out, and he was elected to Congress. But then he goes into a John in the House of the first one was somewhere else. He got arrested, right, for gay sex. He gets arrested for gay sex. He's a Mississippi Republican congressman. He says, I'm sorry. I'm married to a woman. I was drunk. It'll never happen again. They love repentance. Mm-hmm. They reelected him.
My gosh.
Then a month or two later, he does it again in the House of Representatives restroom and gets arrested. Now, I don't want to laugh about it because obviously, and he quits. But what did he do? He got involved with LGBT rights in Northern Virginia and did a lot of great work. Right. I met him, sweet guy. You know, he reformed, really. unfortunately died of AIDS. But you know, I'm saying people, of course, people can change, and you know, it helps to leave Mississippi in order to do so.
Right.
All right. What about South Carolina? We had a big victory this week. A federal judge barred the enforcement of the anti-LGBTQ law promoting any discussion of same-sex relationships in public schools, except in the context of STIs. This is an old law.
So this is an anti-curriculum law.
No promo homo, these
no
laws were called. The Campaign for Southern Equality was a plaintiff in that case. Congratulations, South Carolina.
Yep.
Lambda Legal, I believe NCLR was involved in this case. You know, so, yeah.
It's just, what happened to the old maxim of knowledge is power?
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Ignorant is power, too.
That's right. That's it, right? But just because you educate people doesn't mean you're endorsing. Like, when I was in junior high, I studied the rise of Nazism and Adolf Hitler. It doesn't mean I'm now a member of the Nazi Party. I'm better off for knowing that lesson, right?
Right.
So what are they thinking?
Right.
It's control.
And I will just say to the control room, I could use a little end time for this show because I didn't write it down, and I would like to know that. So if you could come out and give that to me, I would appreciate it. All right. So where are we?
I'm sure they'll just yell cut when they have to.
All right. Then there was the protest in... I don't want to go too much out of order here.
Protest.
Let's talk about a couple of other things that happened. There was the protest in Missouri. Yeah, that's the next picture that's coming up. There was a protest in Missouri. You know, they want to pass a law there that said that will jail librarians who host drag time story hour.
Oh, and that.
Jail them. Or if they check out a book on LGBT subjects to kids under 18. Now, this is nuts. They had a huge protest there. Hundreds of people led by drag queens and librarians there in Missouri at the state capitol in Jefferson City.
Can I just look at that picture and I want to say...
Put it back up there.
Make reading fun again, you know? Like, that's the first thing
Kids love it.
Kids love it. I mean, if you've got a kid struggling with literacy, why not take them to the drag queen story hour? That is what I would do. Kids love their color. They love performance. That will get them hooked on books. But maybe we don't want that in Missouri.
All right. You're right. Okay. Just making some checks there. Thank you. Okay. Now, we told you about the story in Chicago. Mm. This guy, you know, allegedly had a fight with a guy in a bar and
viciously stabbed him.
The other guy, who was like weighed twice as much, mm-hmm. took out a box cutter and slashes him 8 times. This is the guy. His name is Thomas Tanzi.
He was a military vet too, wasn't he? They say he had psychological problems from coming back, I believe.
Whatever.
No excuse.
He's 30 years old. He was finally charged and held without bail. The judge doubted his claims of self-defense, given that the wounds he inflicted were mostly in the back of the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the patrons there, it was the guy he killed, Ken Paterlimos. Yeah, Paterlimos was bisexual. And the perpetrator here, alleged perpetrator, was heard to shout anti-gay slurs.
You know, it makes you think about defending yourself. Why not just walk away?
Well,
but you know, if you're proud of your identity, and bisexual men have it hard enough anyway, because people don't think it's a legitimate identity, and it is.
Of course.
And whatever set that guy off, you know, it was very unfortunate. Very sad.
Very, very sad. Very, very sad. All right. Let's talk about that. Monmouth University in New Jersey.
Mm.
All right. They were having a basketball game with Siena.
That was not cool.
And a group of Monmouth students, show this picture. They held up Grindr pictures of an opposing player.
So it was Siena was, one of the teams was losing. So they lost.
Yeah.
It was 86-72. And they
and the
held
si-
up.
Yeah, go ahead.
The sign is something like "Stick to Grindr," and pics that they had downloaded from this athlete's profile, dating profile.
Something we didn't even do to Aaron Schock this week.
All right.
Anyway.
That's a low blow.
And this was two nights after Monmouth's basketball team had held a special gay pride night. The president of Monmouth called the Grindr routine highly offensive and promised an investigation into it. But come on, guys.
No, it's not cool.
Homophobia in sport, in the stands. A huge problem in what you people call football. You know,
we people?
Yeah, what we call soccer, right? Don't you call it football?
Hang on. Describe the shape of the ball, and then I'll give you the correct.
It's like this, and you kick it around, and you're not supposed to touch it with your hands.
Is it like an oval-shaped ball, or is it a round ball?
Come on.
While we're on the topic of sports, what about that pro golfer?
What about him? Scott Piercy.
Yes.
He's on the tour, and he's got a picture. There he is. He has been dumped by sponsors for sharing a meme slurring Pete Buttigieg homophobically. Do you have the quote?
Do I have the quote? I've got it all in caps. Peter pulls out early from behind. Not my favorite.
It was stupid. And
he lost three sponsors. Do you know who they were?
I do. Well, I also want to say that he posts on the QAnon far-right website.
Yes.
Because conspiracy theories.
That's right.
He's been dumped by Titleist and FootJoy and by something called Jay Lindeberg. Do you know them?
I know Titleist, of
anyway,
course.
Anyway, he said he apologized if any of my posts have been offensive. They have. Don't you get it? But the tour, PGA Tour has not taken action against him or fined him or anything. Just the sponsors. All right.
Well, that's a very costly crack, I'm going to say. I hope he thought it was worth it.
Okay. Now we're going to do a follow-up on Brigham Young University.
While we're on the subject of college sports.
This is confusing.
Yeah.
It sounded like they wanted to go a little lighter and it's a Mormon school.
Honor code.
Mormon school on the honor code. And they were it was going to be okay. You know, they still, sex had to be between a man and a woman when they're married. But if you had open displays of affection, that was going to be okay if you were same sex and all these things. And they had people celebrating and kissing in front of the statue of Brigham Young.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what pushed the authorities over the edge. Whatever. But they have fully reneged on the change in the honor code that allows same sex dating and affection.
Do you know why? It came down to this one thing.
I don't know why.
So it came down to this Elder Johnson said, same-sex romantic behavior cannot lead to eternal marriage and is therefore not compatible with the principles included in the honor code. I've got news for Elder Johnson. No marriage is eternal. Not straight, not gay. So get over it. Let people just love each other.
Well, okay. Well, anyway, the LGBT students say they feel unsafe again. They did have a big protest. There it is. They had a big protest. They went to Salt Lake City and protested at Mormon headquarters. And one of their signs there says, "Make BYU gay again." You were allowed to be gay for
5 minutes.
That's exactly
five
what
minutes
I was going to
say.
Now, the Out Foundation, something called the Out Foundation, has created a transfer fund to subsidize those who want to leave.
And good for them. So they had a funding platform. I think their goal was $40,000. Last time I checked in, it was about $36,000. So that's great, right?
Yeah. Well, if I were, of course, you know, people apply to college or go to college and are not always, I would say it's harder to understand these days because I think young people figure out who they are younger, but maybe they don't accept it. But, I mean, if you have figured out this is who you are and it might be a good thing, I might suggest not going to schools like Brigham Young
Privately
University.
Privately funded religious colleges, no.
Right. Well, sometimes,
not.
You know, in the family, that's all that the parents are willing to
support. Yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah.
Talk about what's going on with those Michigan lesbian prison officials.
Oh, let me find this. Where was it? I confess I just liked the headline. I saw beavers and tacos and I just had to read.
Please explain
that
to
was
our
the headline.
Viewers.
That was a clickbaity headline. I better explain, or else I'll be in
read
trouble.
Read the headline.
All right, so lesbian prison workers, two lesbian prison workers who are also a married couple. They've been together 17 years. Oh. They have put up with this horrible homophobic work environment for a number of years, going back since the 2000s.
Yes, this is Michelle Wood, 52,
Michelle Wood.
and Sergeant Loretta Smith.
Yeah, they're really old enough to not have to put up with this nonsense anymore. So they're suing the Michigan Department of Corrections for this ongoing campaign of harassment, which includes things such as, you know, hate speech in the workplace, putting pictures up of beavers and tacos, etc., to terrorize them and demean them. But as a side note, I want to go to Michigan and open a lesbian bar called Beavers and Tacos and invite everyone for beers when they win this case. But the only problem with this is that they've filed their lawsuit under the state's Anti-Discrimination Act, which does not include sexual orientation or gender identity. And this is one of the big problems if we don't have it in the law.
Right. But they are suing, saying it's sex discrimination, right? You know, basically. And the EEOC, I think, in Michigan has already agreed with that. The State Human Rights Commission has agreed to that.
Right.
Now, all of this could be in trouble with this Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decision that we're waiting for, which is going to decide whether discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and on the basis of gender identity is sex discrimination. There's a long history of cases that say it is, but these people on the Supreme Court, will they go along with this? I'm highly doubtful.
I don't know. So good luck to those.
I would love to be surprised.
That's right.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's talk about, let's talk about some other state issues, good and bad. Alabama, they passed a bill to make it a felony for doctors to provide any gender confirmation treatments to trans people under the age of 19. Yes.
Right.
It includes puberty blockers. They passed this 22-3, and it has already passed a House committee. It goes against the guidance of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
That is almost a unanimous vote against. So what do you
think? But here's the thing. These puberty blockers, if you need to take them, they will forestall things like, you know, if you're the development of an Adam's apple or breast growth or male pattern baldness or voice changes and all kinds of other things that are going to be a lot more expensive to take care of later after you get past the age of 19. It's just awful.
It is awful.
And transgender people are outrageously, because they're the most vulnerable. These are the people who are being murdered around the country. Especially African-American trans women. This is who they're dumping on because it's politically expedient. It's one of the things. They all got memos from the Central Committee of the right-wing movement saying, this is what you're going to do this year. These bills are all over the place.
But the good news is with conversion therapy, there is some good news.
All right.
Right? So Virginia has finally banned conversion therapy for minors.
Yes.
It's the first southern state to do so.
Yes.
And 40% of U.S. states now ban this practice, which I think that is a positive thing.
Yes, it is.
We're almost at the halfway mark, right?
And New York State will now let trans minors correct sex markers on their birth certificates to conform with their gender identity. There was a Lambda lawsuit about this. You used to have to wait till you were 18. The others allowing the change are in New York City, Oregon, Washington State, Massachusetts, Alaska, and the District of Columbia. Okay. Florida did a bad thing. They have expanded.
That is a phrase I've never heard before. Florida did a bad thing.
I've heard that. So let me just make a note here. Florida, we've been telling you about this. I think it's the Orlando Sentinel. They did a big investigation. All this state money is going to these private schools, and they found 83 of them to have anti-gay policies. You can't work there if you're gay. You can't be a gay student. We hate homosexuality. And they exposed this. So what did the Florida legislature do? They expanded the program. They quadrupled it. Four times the money is now going to go to this. And screw protecting LGBT people.
And
they
said
don't care.
Orlando Sentinel exposed this?
Yes, the Orlando Sentinel did.
Keep journalism alive. That's what I say.
There was a Democratic representative in Florida, Kim Daniels. She made a tearful plea for people to be tolerant of intolerant schools. I mean, she was saying, why are you dumping on these schools? They're just, just practicing their religion. Can practice their religion. They can't have my money to do it.
But that is what is at the heart of religious freedom laws, is the belief that we're intolerant of intolerance. Yeah. That's really what it's all about.
This bill passed 81-39. I mean, it's very discouraging.
It is discouraging.
Very discouraging. But Alaska, a federal court says that an employer's denial of insurance coverage for gender confirmation surgery is illegal. They cited Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which covers sex discrimination. We can still do that. It's a Lambda suit. The plaintiff, Jessica Fletcher, while she's waiting for this to happen, she ends up going to Thailand for her operation, and she had to pay for it herself. But so they're trying to decide on what kind of remedy she will get.
I mean, that's what we were doing in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, was going to Southeast Asia and getting your surgery.
The judge in this case was interesting because I think it was a he said that the procedure that she's going through, if it was for something else, it would have been covered by the insurance. Mm-hmm. So if it's the exact same thing, just cover it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's sex discrimination.
Yeah.
All right. Arizona. The House there passed a bill banning trans athletes from participating in girls' sports. It applies through college. It requires genetic testing. It says trans girls, if they want to play, they can play on the boys' team. Mm. But what about trans
boys?
But can boys
play on the girls' teams?
Well, that's it. If you were born, if you were quote-unquote born a girl, you're supposed to just play on the... you have to play on the girls' team then. Or are they going to be banned too? I mean, it's outrageous.
This is very, very difficult discussion.
All right.
All right.
Let's talk about the snake bit.
Oh, yes. So it is really interesting that Stonewall gets the lion's share of the history when it comes to the famous raids on gay bars, but they happened all the time in New York.
There were others before, and there were others afterwards, and that's what this one is. There was a raid on this after-hours gay club called the Snake Pit.
In 1970, on March the 8th.
211 West 10th Street. I know that block. Mm-hmm. It's right near where Bill
was. And it was in a basement, right?
5 a.m.
Was it in a basement or not?
So the raid was conducted by Inspector Pine, who did the Stonewall raid.
Seymour Pine,
he hadn't learned his lesson.
Yeah.
He's doing this. He had learned his lesson to some extent. He didn't want to riot, so they immediately just loaded 167.
But do you know what else?
Onto the police wagons and brought them a block and a half to the police station. So they get inside the police station, and something terrible happened. One of the patrons, we're going to show you this picture, Diego Vinales.
Yeah, that's a little bit graphic.
It's
so
graphic,
warning
maybe
there.
Get it off the screen.
No, it's okay.
He
trigger
jumped
warning.
Out of the window and was impaled on the fence.
See, he didn't want to go back to Argentina, and he was frightened that if he got arrested and booked, he would be deported, which is a legitimate fear.
He had his leg and his pelvis pierced, and Vito Russo and the GAA, Gay Activists Alliance, flyer, said famously, any way you look at it, Diego Vinales was pushed. We are all being pushed. But the thing is, from inside the police station, they found a room where they could get on the phone. This is before cell phones, folks. And they started
leaked
calling.
It to media.
And by that evening of that day, 500 protesters showed up from Gay Activists Alliance and a few other groups and marched on the police station and held a vigil at St. Vincent's for Diego, who did survive
He did. He actually survived, but he went back to Argentina. But other things worth noting, the Seymour Pine basically did admit that the reason he liked these raids was because they were easy arrests and that there was a reward system in the police force at the time that the more arrests
you got... Like stop and frisk under Bloomberg.
And one of the cops told one of the firemen when he was trying to help Vinales, he basically said, you don't have to hurry, he's dead, and if he's not, he's not going to live long.
It's just awful.
So we're not even being seen as human, really, I feel, in that situation.
We weren't, and men aren't, and still other places. Now, Ed Koch, and I'm not fond of Ed Koch, he eventually became the mayor, and he was a big closet case, but he was then in Congress. He complained about the raids, and and Pine was reassigned to Flatbush, Brooklyn, as a result of all this. As all right.
What was that, a demotion?
Yeah.
See, do the right thing, people. Just do the right thing.
Okay, we want to pay a fond farewell to Thomas Crever at the Hetrick Martin Institute. He was there after I... He will have been there for 18 years. The Hetrick Martin Institute for LGBT Youth, where Ann and I worked doing education. He's leaving at the end of June. He tripled the number of youth served. Mm-hmm. He expanded services. He expanded them into Newark, New Jersey,
working
with Cory Booker, who was the mayor then of Newark.
So why did he say that the board had... Regretfully, they'd accepted his resignation.
Well, because they like him. They're not happy to get rid of him.
That's just a phrase.
I spoke to Thomas, paid the courtesy of calling a lot of us on the phone and saying he was going to do this. And, I mean, it's an extraordinary length of service as an executive director in our community. Washington State is the 10th state to ban the transpanic defense. Rhode Island opened up the first clinic for LGBT people in Providence. It's called Open Door Health, and it's going to do primary care, HIV prevention and treatment, express screening for STIs. All right. International news?
Yes. Do you want me to do my British best?
Sure.
All right, so according to a new study, which is, it's called the Annual Population Survey, it's just a survey basically, the number of people who identify as lesbian, gay or bisexual is on the rise in the United Kingdom. They did not include transgender people in this
study. Number of people identifying.
Well, this is just...
You think we're recruiting more?
I think more people come out now. Exactly. I think people are more honest about it.
Yes.
And it's quite a significant rise. It's up to 2.2% on the books, which is good. And the proportion of those identifying as heterosexual has dropped to 94.6%. So it's down at least a percent for the straight people.
So it seems to be a little higher here in terms of identification. Mm-hmm. When you get to young people, I mean, many are identifying as bisexual or whatever, or non-binary, or all those kinds of things. Because they have more, as we talked about earlier, they have more information, they have more education.
But they do. But the actual group of people has increased by a third in just a few years. So that's pretty positive. And the other good news was out of Canada. Canada's looking at making a national ban on conversion therapy.
Yeah.
It would be the fifth country, I think, in the world to do this if it did
under Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that's
and
cool.
They're talking about if you engage in such treatments, you could face prison time. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if you are the person...
Take that, running, quacks.
You know, all right. In China, the Chinese gaming company that owns
Grindr,
they sold it for $608 million. This was under a lot of pressure from your United States government, mm-hmm. under Trump, which was worried about all the personal information that they were gathering on these through these apps. So it was bought by something called San Vicente Acquisition, a group of investors in tech. Grindr has... 4.5 million daily active users. Wow. All right.
I'm not one of them.
No, but on the other hand, a Chinese dating app called Blued, B-L-U-E-D, Blued, I don't know, has helped a generation of Chinese people come out in a country where, you know, more and more people are identifying, but they can't be out publicly, they don't feel, because it's still not really acceptable.
Sure.
All right. The Cook Islands in the South Pacific, with links to New Zealand, they have their first pride.
Which is major.
Set for March 27th. It's going to be a big festival at the National Auditorium in Rarotonga.
Very good. That's not bad.
Same-sex activity, however, is still illegal there.
That is exactly right.
It goes before... The population there is only about 17,000, but they're going to consider that in the parliament, the law there in June.
Mm-hmm.
In the Gulf states, Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Oman, they're banning Disney's Pixar's Onward over the gay character.
Oh, because of Lena Waithe. She has one line of dialogue in which she refers to her raising a child with her girlfriend.
Yes, and the original line for the character was husband. And she said, can I say girlfriend? And they said, yeah, go ahead. It'll only get us banned in Kuwait, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and Oman. actually, they're banning the whole film over this.
Right.
You can't be too careful.
Why can't they just Dub it.
The Russians have changed the line to partner in their...
Oh. I mean, yeah. We could live with
all
that.
Right, we're running out of time fast.
Mm-hmm.
In international news, El Salvador, the killing of a trans woman there. Camilla Diaz Cordova in February 2019. It's the first ever classified as a hate crime there.
Hmm.
And three police officers are standing trial for the killing.
Wow.
Tokyo High Court ruled that people of the same sex in de facto marriages should be entitled to the same legal benefits as heterosexual couples in quasi-marriages. A UK court ruled out a third option for non-binary people on, like, passports and things like that. It's a long-standing case, and they're not doing it.
Interesting. You know?
And did you talk about the two lesbian sisters from Pakistan in Britain who were denied asylum? They fear death if they go home.
Yeah.
And the judge isn't convinced that they're lesbians.
How do you prove it?
Oh, God.
I mean... Yeah,
all right.
That's a whole other discussion.
We have a few minutes. AIDS news. The London patient who we told you about, the guy who was cured of HIV, big story in the New York Times. He has come out. He is L.P. Mm-hmm. Castillejo, 40 years old. He said, "I am an ambassador of hope." He was cured last March. He received a bone marrow transplant.
Full lymphoma.
Because he had cancer. And he received a bone marrow transplant for that, and in the transfusion thing, they put in it was taken from someone who has the genetic factor that prevents HIV. You know, one out of 100 people can't get HIV because they have this genetic factor where they're immune to it. They can be exposed to it all the time, but they can't get it. So you took bone marrow gave him a bone marrow transfusion, and isn't that a practical cure? But we're learning from it.
Well, yeah.
Now, what's this thing about hackers?
Oh, now this is something, a little bit of a warning. Beware of your email, because hackers are now sending fake HIV results and coronavirus-themed emails right to your email account, and they're doing it with the labeling of Vanderbilt University Medical Center.
We're all out of time. The U.S. Court of Appeals upheld an injunction against the Air Force from discharging personnel with HIV. I saw Dana H. this week. By Lucas Nath about his mother. I don't want to tell you anything
thumbs
about it other than
down.
Say go. It is very absorbing. It's about his mom. And it's played by Deirdre O'Connor. Bye Bye Birdie is coming to the Kennedy Center April 23rd to 28th with Harvey Fierstein as Mae Peterson. And James Vanderbeek's going to be in that. At the Inheritance, they had celebrities coming this week.
Hillary Clinton.
There she is, last week. And... Pete and Chastain
Pete
came,
Chastain.
And they're there with Tom Kernahy, Chasen. The producer. I'm going to miss Max von Sydow.
R.I.P. Max von Sydow.
Who was not
star.
A gay story, but I loved him. And what else?
A great actor.
RuPaul's Drag Race has removed Sherry Pie over allegations of catfishing.
And what about it was announced that Janelle Monáe will be heading up the festivities at Pride Island for this
all fantastic
Pride.
Thanks for being
Wash
with us,
Maren. Wash your hands. Thank you.
See you next week.